to their website under our business sponsors. Just go to WTRJTheTruth.com.
Trusted voices with solid teaching and talk. This is The Truth, 91.7 FM. Let's Face the Issues is a daily broadcast ministry of First Conservative Baptist Church with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Dr. Youngblood is also the founder, president of Conservative Theological University. Let's Face the Issues broadcast deals with real issues facing our culture today from a biblical perspective. God created three institutions, the home, government, and the church. Therefore, any issue that is harmful or has a negative impact on either of these institutions will be carefully dealt with and confronted from a biblical worldview. Too often, good people are afraid to confront serious issues that are attacking the church, the home, and Christians. We must stand against the enemies of the family and the church. Tune in each day for another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Here is Dr. Youngblood with Let's Face the Issues.
Thank you, thank you, thank you, ladies and gentlemen. It's always a delight to have you to jump on board, join in the dialogue and discussion each and every day as we face the issues. As we face the issues, let me remind you, perhaps you're a first-time listener, or you've not heard it before, but let me remind you, as we face the issues, our decision, our focus, our conclusions are based on the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant Word of God. We do not base our conclusions or the position that we take about the issues. We do not base it on a denominational dogma. We do not base it on political rhetoric or some type of philosophical jargon. We look at it through the lens of the Scripture. Perhaps you've heard me say before, and at the risk of redundancy, let me say again, all events, A-L-L, all events in society, local, state, national, international, global, we need to view them through the prism of the Word of God. What does God's Word tell us? Let me just give you a little thumbnail sketch. From Genesis 1:1 through Revelation 22:22, we find God's progressive revelation of himself to man. We find in the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant Word of God, God's Word telling us, showing us, pointing out to us what God has done, is doing, and shall do in the future in this whole world. God created the home, God created government, God created the church, and in that order. So anything that we talk about, when I use the term anything, anything within the realm of those three categories, the home, government, that's civil government, or the church, we're talking about biblical issues. And it's important for us to understand that fundamental statement, especially for today's broadcast. Our issue today, should Christians, and pastors be involved in the political process? We're rapidly approaching another major, major juncture in America with what's called the midterm elections. And I believe we need to prime the pump, load the theological doctrinal weapon, as I would call it, to stand for truth in this upcoming election. I know it's a long way off, but in political targeting, political stratagem, it's just a very brief period of time before America faces another intersection, another crossroads as to what America will be like a year from now, 10 years from now, 20 years from now. And I believe it's vital that Christians understand what the Word of God says in relationship to that. And very quickly, very succinctly, God expects us to be, God calls us to be, the Lord Jesus Christ in Matthew the 5th chapter pointed out and commanded that we be salt and light. We need, if we're going to, as the text would go, if we're going to love our neighbor, we need to love them enough to speak the truth in love and point to what ought to be done in relationship to our standing in society as Christians, as conservatives. Ladies and gentlemen, our world is very rapidly changing. Today, America is not the same America of yesteryear. Today's America is not the America that you grew up in, that I grew up in, and that our sons and daughters are now growing up in. We're witnessing a tectonic change in America. And I'll just do a little tidbit at this point. We can witness what is happening in our colleges and prestigious universities in America, where the kids are out waving banners, from the river to the sea, the Palestinians must be free. And that is a demand to destroy the apple of God's eye, the Jewish people, the state of Israel. They do not, those young kids, the millennials, do not understand and realize what they're saying. And by the way, the latest is, ladies and gentlemen, there's an organization that funds these terrorist organizational demands and riots and gatherings with demands like that. It's funded. And ladies and gentlemen, there's a fundamental bottom line purpose behind that. That's to undermine, tear down, and destroy the constitutional republic that we call the United States of America. If once we could grasp that and understand that, I believe it would make a vast difference on what we do, how we respond, and our position as Christians, as pastors, as churches, etc., etc. Listen, God calls us to be salt and light. And that demand, that challenge, that position has never changed. The Word of God is still the same. It's the same yesterday, today, and for tomorrow. It's the same God that we serve that you see in the Scripture, where we had those men of old that would take the position of honoring God through civil government and being a part and parcel of that position. So, ladies and gentlemen, as we face the issues, let me remind you, we do so based on the authority of the Scripture. John 8, 31 and 32, Jesus, speaking to his disciples, said, "If you continue in my word, then you're my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth. The truth shall make you free." Then in John 14, 6, Jesus says, "I am truth." Further in John 17, 17, the Bible makes a declaratory statement about the Scripture. "Thy word is truth." And in Psalms 117, verse 2, the Scripture says, "The truth of the Lord endures forever." And so, ladies and gentlemen, as we speak the truth, we need to stand on it. I look at a statement by George Orwell, the secularist of yesteryear, in that dystopian novel entitled 1984, where Orwell made the statement, "The further a society drifts from the truth, the more it will hate those who speak it." Listen, let me just give you a little elongated yet thumbnail sketch. You recall Russiagate, where Trump was supposed to be a Putin puppet, and all that the left tried to do in relationship to destroying President Trump morally, ethically, financially, politically, wanted to put him in jail, tried twice to impeach him, and it was all based on a lie, a fabrication, a glorified, insurrection behind the scenes that we didn't realize what was taking place. Most of us as conservatives, most of us as in the recognition that this was a lie, that we were censored, Facebook accounts canceled, YouTube accounts canceled, words that we might speak about COVID and the lie, the falsies, falsehoods in that, we were canceled, we were censored and canceled. Now, ladies and gentlemen, I'm glad to announce, in case you've not been hearing some of the revelations, that the onion is being peeled, the truth is being laid bare, and we're finding how much we were actually lied to, but yet we were told it was the truth the whole time. A half-truth is a whole lie, and we have the entire 55% of the millennials, according to the latest survey, say there's no such thing as absolute truth. In fact, that 55% of the millennials say that each person determines their own version of truth. It was the former U.S. Senator Jim DeMint that made this statement in part. "What we believe about truth does not change what is true. What we believe about reality does not change what is real. There's no greater example of arrogance and self-worship than to assume whatever we believe is true and real, yet that is precisely the prevailing view in America today, even in our Christian churches." I'm looking at a headline on a serious article entitled "Western Society Will Be Destroyed Without a Commitment to Truth." And it goes on in part to talk about the deception that is found in academia, the deception that's found in the media, the deception that's found in our government today. In fact, this article in part says it is fashionable and academia for decades now that the truth is relative, or that it is a matter of individual perception or cultural mores, or even that there's no such thing as absolute truth. Ladies and gentlemen, I go back to the 15th century theologian and church reformer Jan Hus. Jan Hus says, faithful Christians, seek the truth, listen to the truth, listen to the truth, learn the truth, love the truth, tell the truth, live the truth, and defend the truth, even to death. That's my challenge. We need to listen to it, learn it, love it, live it, tell it, and be willing to stand and defend it, even to death. That's my challenge each and every day on this broadcast. Ladies and gentlemen, this portion of the day's broadcast is sponsored by Tools for Time. Tools for Time is an outdoor power equipment dealership company specializing in the turnkey business packages for individuals looking to own your own landscape or lawn care business. Tools for Time carries the full line of equipment for the homeowner with brands like Honda and Echo. Tools for Time carries the full line of hurricane preparedness equipment with the full line of Honda generators. And ladies and gentlemen, Tools for Time has a knowledgeable staff that can answer all of your questions about power backup equipment. The knowledgeable staff at Tools for Time can answer your questions about the professional as well as the homeowner brand landscape and lawn care equipment. Perhaps you say, how do I find Tools for Time? It's located at 11291. That's 11291 Old St. Augustine Road. That's right at the intersection of I-295 Beltway and Old St. Augustine Road. There's an identifier, a benchmark. On the campus of Tools for Time is a 165-foot flagpole. Find that flag, the U.S. flag, with the at the top of the flagpole, at the bottom of that flagpole, the base of that flagpole, you'll find the home of Tools for Time. ToolsForTime.com, ToolsForTime.com. Ladies and gentlemen, one brief moment. We'll open our telephone lines. Once we open our telephone lines, let me remind you that telephone number is 904-831-0917. 904-831-0917. The Bible says very clearly, righteousness exalteth the nation, but sin is a reproach, a disgrace, an honor, dishonor to any people. With that in mind, may I say to you, we need to answer the question. I want to hear from you today. I want to hear from you. As a Christian, as a conservative, as a patriot, I want to hear from you. Do you believe that Christians should stand in the political arena? Do you believe that Christians should run for office, be elected? You believe that churches with pastors in the pulpits should identify candidates that's running for office, tell who they are, what they're about, whether they're conservative or rank liberals, whether they're, I call them loose likes, lost liberals, whether they're conservatives, whether they're patriots or not. Should Christians be involved in the political process is my question today. Multitudes today are listening, you're saying, oh, no. You know, politics is evil, politics is wicked, politics are dirty. And ladies and gentlemen, it's because of that philosophy of the past about 70 years now. It is because of that philosophy that we have the fundamental ruin, morally, ethically, biblically, theologically, in our nation today as a result of it. I go back to a historical event. Let me share this event with you, then we'll open our telephone lines as we think about whether a Christian should be involved in the political arena. I'm looking at the headline, says, the Black Robe Regiment. Many ministers participated in the war for the independence that we were called the Black Robe Regiment. In reference to their pulpit gowns by opposition, one member of the Black Robe Regiment, Pastor Peter Muhlenberg, is honored by a statue in the United States Capitol building even today. In those days, politics were preached in the pulpits. Men were led to action on the side of the freedom and faithful pastors. When the war for independence was kindling, he was a clergyman in Virginia. And at the close of a 1775 message, he concluded a sermon with the words of Scripture. There's a time for all things, a time to preach, a time to pray, but those times, he said, had passed away. And then, in a voice that sounded like a trumpet blast throughout the church, he exclaimed, there's a time to fight, and that time has come now. Then, laying aside his clerical gown, he stood before the flock in a full uniform of the Virginia, as a Virginia colonel. He ordered the drums to be beaten at the church door. Ordered the drums to be beaten at the church door for recruits, and also Almost the entire male audience, capable of bearing arms, joined his standard. Nearly 300 men enlisted that day. Reverend Peter Muhlenberg became one of Washington's primary brigadier generals in the Continental Army, serving him in every major capacity for the time through the surrender, through till the surrender of the British at Yorktown. When his brother Frederick, who was a pastor of a church in New York City, heard how Peter had left the ministry to get involved in civil and military affairs, he wrote him a letter opposing his action, stating, quote, "You would have acted for the best if you had kept out of this business from the beginning. I now give you my thoughts in brief. I think you're wrong." Peter responded, "You say as a clergyman nothing can excuse my conduct? I'm a clergyman, it is true, but I'm a member of society as well, as the poorest layman, and my liberty is dear to me and to you. Shall I then sit still and enjoy myself at home when the best blood of the continent is being spilled? Heaven forbid." And by the way, ladies and gentlemen, the further story, when the British came in and burned his brother's house, he changed his mind. Burned his house, burned his church. He changed his mind. He decided his brother was right for being involved in the political move. So may I say to you, I believe it's better for us to be proactive and be obedient to the scripture than to wait until America is crushed. And listen, I don't say that arbitrarily and capriciously. We're witnessing the onslaught of the Marxist, socialist, communist movement in America as never before in my lifetime. You can go back and listen to blurbs of this broadcast for years and years and years gone by. And I've said this many, many, many times. And right at this very moment, we're finding major leaders in the U.S. House of Representatives and in the areas of government in America where we have socialist, Marxist, communist that have been elected, and right now in the city of New York, better than 50% chances, a Islamic jihadist, pure, full-fledged communist is possibly going to be the next mayor of New York City. We have communism that is flooding America as never before, and yet we have those that are in the pulpits as pastors and Christians in our churches and entire denominations that refuse to be salt and light in our society. Ladies and gentlemen, today most Christians and pastors and churches believe that the Christians ought not to be involved in civil government. They forget that God created government, and as God created, according to, and time won't allow us to get into the exegetical study of Romans chapter 13, especially the first seven verses, but God created government to prosecute evil and to punish evil and to protect good. And we've witnessed through the Obama administration and the Sleepy Joe auto pen Biden administration that the opposite has been taking place, where Christians were prosecuted, Christians persecuted and censored and silenced, and churches are being threatened with the 501c3 rule. And we'll talk about that later in this broadcast. Where do you stand? What are your thoughts? I want to hear from you today. 904-831-0917. I believe we have Kenneth on the line. Kenneth, go ahead with your question or comment, please.
Yes, sir. Dr. Youngblood, this republic started with preachers in their pulpits. And I'm glad now that preachers can do that. But they, today, they don't have the backbone, I don't think. Because you got so many churches talking about talking to churches and telling them, the LBGKQ or XYZ, we got to love them. That's what the Bible says. No, but the Bible tell you that that's an abomination to him. Mm-hmm. And putting them in the pulpit, some of them up in the pulpit, but they have a lot of power. But I want the millennium to know, the millennium to know absolutely their own truth. I tell them what, okay, if your own truth, get on top of a building and see if gravity is not true.
Good illustration, Kenneth. Listen, then what you're saying is that Christians need to be salt and light. Christians and churches need to stand up, speak up, be heard, and be seen. Christians need to recognize that if we are in society, we are citizens of two kingdoms, that is God's kingdom and this old world. And as citizens, we need to protect our citizenship, our rights that we find that God has given us, that's codified in the Constitution, especially found in our Bill of Rights. And if we're not careful, Kenneth, and I've said this so many years now, if we're not careful, we will see the cancellation piece by piece, disassembling our Bill of Rights to the point that we no longer have them. We were on the fast track with the Obama administration. That fast track was sped up exponentially under the auto-pen Biden administration, where it was getting to the point where Christians were becoming secondary, second-class citizens on the outside looking in. What say you?
Yes, the same. You hit the nail on the head, because it is true. And it's like, when I remember when Obama's second term said, the big change, or whatever you said,
it's going to fundamentally change America.
Right. And when Benjamin Netanyahu came over here and asked him not to give Iran the nuclear power, he went out the front door, had him go through the back door. That reminds me of my younger days, mm-hmm. when I had to go through the back door.
Yeah.
Because I'm less than 100 feet.
Yeah.
But I tell you what, then the Muslim Brotherhood come up, you hug them and kiss them and spend about 3 hours with them.
Well, if you're saying the Muslim Brotherhood, I'm looking at headlines that it's past time to designate the Muslim Brotherhood as a terrorist organization. President Trump is about to designate the Muslim Brotherhood as a terrorist organization. And listen carefully, I believe when he officially does that, we're going to have some major, 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 major uprising from the Islamic jihadist people in America saying you can't do that. Yes. Because the Muslim Brotherhood and the Council on American Islamic Relations are terrorist front organizations operating in America today. Kenneth, we've got others hanging on the line, but let me thank you for joining us today. Looking forward to what God is going to do as we keep looking up, because our redemption draweth nigh. I believe we have Mary on the line. Mary, go ahead with a question or comment, please.
Hey, Pastor Youngblood, Mary here in St. Augustine.
Yes, Mary, good to talk with you.
Oh, it's good to hear your voice. Our mutual friend Derby has called you the Rush Limbaugh of Jacksonville.
But well, I'm humbled by the remark and thankful.
I want to go a step further. I want to say that you are the Bonhoeffer for our time, because I don't hear anyone else speaking out the way you do, as forcefully.
Well, I'm thankful for the privilege and the opportunity. My prayer is before the broadcast each and every day that God will couch the words in such a way that it would wake us up as Christians in America.
Yes, for those who don't know who Bonhoeffer is, we should tell them that he was a giant of the faith.
Yes.
And died defending the faith in Nazi Germany. And he had been, what some don't know and I didn't, was that he had been hoodwinked and seduced in the early years of the Nazi reign, of the early Hitler rise. He was impressed. He didn't know all the details, and he didn't know what was to come. And he slowly opened his eyes to what was going on, and then he completely turned and saw the light and died for his faith.
When he stood for truth, when he stood to reveal the facts, mm-hmm. he was executed by a highway firing squad simply because of standing for truth. And
he had to
stand alone, but it opened eyes as a result of what he had done in standing for truth and standing alone. And you're exactly right. I have read about his background, studied and looked at his background. Thankful for that indication of that willingness. And I'm saying today, Mary, that I believe it's time that we have Bonhoeffers stand up and arise across America, that we have those that are willing to die for truth than to simply bow and bend at what we see taking place in our society today. We're witnessing the implosion of our constitutional republic.
Our pastors have gone wobbly. They've been seduced and intimidated without reason. They've gone wobbly.
Well, they've got reason. Let me just simply answer it.
This I know. Thought. I understand.
It's the numbers, nickels, and noses. They're afraid they might hurt mm-hmm. some Democrats' feelings. Pastors mm-hmm. will stand in the pulpit, and if they think somebody's there that might be a socialist, Marxist, communist Democrat, they are awe-stricken because they want to fill the pews. Well, my approach mm-hmm. has always been, and I believe this is the approach that God honors, it has been in my life, and that is to take a stand, tell the truth, regardless of which way it goes, no matter what feet it might step on or who might get angry because of it. I've seen people get so boiling angry they wanted to choke, die, get out, or do something than to listen to the message as it proclaimed, speaking the truth. And that's our responsibility if we're going to be salt and light, Mary.
And we need to stop calling them liberals. This is a compliment. You don't call them liberals or Democrats. They're communists.
Communist, absolutely.
Absolutely.
And by the way, that is becoming more and more identifiable today as mm-hmm. we see the Socialist, Marxist, Communist, Democratic Party. They are applauding the Islamic jihadists. They're applauding those that are here to destroy America. They're applauding those that have been sent across our borders illegally. They're applauding those that will have sex trafficking of children. And now when you see what Trump is trying to do, they are against anything that Trump does to deliver America and make America great again. The Socialist, Marxist, Communist Party are totally against that. I believe it's time pastors see it. I believe it's time Christians stand up and say so. I believe it's time Christians go to their pastors and say, why don't you tell us about this? Why don't we have a message about that? Why is it that you're not preaching against this that I call the demoralization and the destruction of America? I believe it's time we speak up.
Even calling them socialists is too gentle. They're communists.
Communists.
They are absolute communists. And we must not rest on our laurels. I know we're all happy that Trump and we have some semblance of conservatism in the White House, but we cannot rest on our laurels because these executive orders can be flipped on a dime
yes.
if they're not codified, if they're not put into law. They'll be just flipped if any Democrat gets in.
Yes.
And I wanted to know what you thought we should say when you meet a member in your congregation who says, well, I don't get involved in politics. There's nothing I can do. I just pray. What is your response?
I've heard that before.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you can pray, and there's nothing wrong with prayer. Prayer is the mighty tool that God's given us that we can pray and intercede, ask God to intercede to deliver us. But when you talk about what can be and cannot be done, you can say, well, you know, I think that my child needs to be in school, and I'm just going to pray that he does good grades. I think that my child needs to take a bath, and I'm going to pray that he does. No, mm-hmm. you stand up and you do something. That is called salt and light. Salt preserves rot, and light illumines darkness. And that's what God charges the responsibility to be. So when a person says that, whether it's a Christian in the pew, or whether it's a Christian in the congregation, or a pastor in the pew, well, if that's the continuing thought that you have, then what is the responsibility in our citizenship in America to be good citizens and good citizens in the kingdom of God? What is it God would have us to do? Nehemiah didn't know anything about just praying. David mm-hmm. didn't know anything about just praying. Daniel mm-hmm. didn't know anything about just praying.
Exactly.
The Apostle Paul didn't know anything about just praying. They were salt and light. And so, Mary, that's what I challenge our listeners to do. We've got other callers on the phone.
Keep up the good fight, Dr. Youngblood. Please keep it up.
Keep praying. God bless you, and
okay.
thank you
keep
so much.
Up.
I thank believe Santiago's on the line. Go over to question or comment, please. Santiago,
yeah,
you there? Go ahead.
Yes. Two things that I have to say, you know, before you the commercial go, is that the President of the United States want to clean Washington with the crime, and people, they oppose him to do that. And another thing, I think if a kid, an adolescent, is enough to, what do you call that, to put a trigger or use a gun to kill somebody, I think he should be paid. Doesn't matter if he's 10 years old. If you are enough to pull a trigger to kill somebody, you should be responsible. And another thing,
Santiago, yes, our time is up. I'd like you to hang on, if you could, until after the news break. We'll finish this conversation. But you're on target with that statement. Thank you so much. Ladies and gentlemen, we're going to take just a few moments of break for the news. Hang in there. Don't turn your dials. We'll be right back right after the news.
With Dr. Gene A. Youngblood from First Conservative Baptist Church and Conservative Theological University in Jacksonville, Florida. To learn more, visit conservative.edu.
WTRJ Orange Park, WAYL.